Well, hello, Bridgepoint. I am so pumped to be able to be with you guys today and be able to share with you. But as we get going here today, I want to do something. We are one church in multiple locations. And in my former position as creative arts pastor, I had an opportunity to travel around, visit the other campuses. So I know what happens on the other campuses when we do this. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to actually link ourselves together or something. But what I want us to do is every campus to celebrate what God is doing on every campus. So all the campuses, including Tyrone, can we give it up for our downtown campus today and everything that's happened there? Trevor, we love you guys. What about our Seminole campus? Can we give it up for Seminole? Scotty, everything that's going on there. Clearwater, Clearwater. Come on, somebody. Scott, love you. And then let's give it up for our Tyrone campus and our lead pastor, Tim Whipple. Let's give it up. Yeah. I love what happens in those places because we just get to experience it in one room, but it makes waves. It has ripples, and we are one church, multiple locations. And as I was just saying, we want to celebrate be praying for our lead pastor, Tim Whipple. He's away on sabbatical right now. Actually, they're probably on baby watch because he's expecting his first grandchild soon, any day now. My name's Michael, and I'm the Tyrone campus pastor, and I get the joy of speaking to you guys today. We have an amazing team here that I'm honored to be a part of, and just so thankful for what God is doing in this place. And we've been in this wave series. We started last week. We're going to wrap it up this week, and it's a brief series just talking about waves. Why? Because waves are all about momentum. And for us, waves are about people. And we get an opportunity to have momentum going into Fan Day next week on all of our campuses, and a chance to invite our friends, family, associates, or neighbors. And we have some t-shirts. I know some are available here. They may already be gone on the other campuses, but we still have some available on this campus. Anybody not get a t-shirt yet? Anybody throw? All right, there we go. There you go. If it's not your size, then trade it out in the lobby. If they don't have your size, then you might want to go up one or two, up or down, depending on which way you want to go on that size. But definitely get a Fan Day shirt. There's some invites in there to be able to invite people to Fan Day. And I want to remind you guys to wear your fan gear next week. Be repping your team. And unlike Tyler, I am not going to hate on the Patriots fans. And here's why. I'm an Auburn fan from Alabama, and I learned the more you hate on the team you're opposing, the more they beat you. It just seemed like every time Alabama, if you hated on them, they just kept winning and winning and winning, much like the Patriots, winning and winning and winning. But no matter what your team is, rep your team and invite your people, and let's have a great day next week for Fan Day. As we wrap up and talk about waves today, I want us to just look into this together, because being a part of a wave is a big deal. And so we're kind of equating water and the waves that water create, and we get to see that where we live and in the beautiful places that we live here in Pinellas County. But water in and of itself doesn't create waves. There's other things that play into waves. And so we're taking that, we're learning from that, and this is an oversimplification of waves. And if there's any scientists in the room, I know there's more things that go into creating waves than just what we're going to talk about today. But I want to talk about three major keys that make waves. And number one, Tyler helped us to understand last week, is wind. So when wind blows across a water, the energy from the wind is transferred to the water, and the water just sits and circles, right? We learned that last week, that it just moves and rises and falls according to the wind, and over time, it grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Another thing that plays into the formation of waves is the landscape. It's what's going on below the surface. That plays a big part into waves, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then also time, the amount of time that the wind has to blow across the water. Because you can take a small amount of wind, but it has a good bit of time or distance to blow across the water, then it's going to create ripples and then start to create waves, even if it's just a steady wind. Actually, we find that some of the best waves around the world, when surfers go out to surf these big waves, it's actually because of low pressure systems that just have consistent wind blowing across the water, creating these massive, massive waves. And so one of the things that we learned to be a part of a wave, last week, Tyler helped us to understand that we have to be willing to share what God is doing in our lives. We have to be aware of the wind, of the Spirit of God moving. And so we learned that last week. And in fact, he shared this verse with us, and I want to take it today as kind of a hinge as we wrap up this series. They, the religious leaders, is talking about in Acts. And this is in Acts. This is after Jesus has lived on earth. He has died on the cross and been resurrected. But it says, they, the religious leaders, recognized that they, those that followed him, specifically a couple of his disciples, had been with Jesus. And this is really important to us being a part of a wave, is understanding how important it is to be with Jesus. And we're going to talk about that today in our Waves series. But the first thing, before we jump into our scripture, I just have a question for everybody. Have you ever had a situation in your life that didn't go according to plan? A whole lot. I just heard somebody say a whole lot. I'm like, yeah, exactly. In the scripture today that we're going to be looking at, we're going to see things that didn't go according to plan and how God moves in those situations. But as a dad, I have a 16-month-old, Liam, and my wife Betsy and I love him, but he is all boy. Anybody can relate to all boy? He is in everything. He is on everything. He is figuring out everything. And with being new parents, we have a plan. You know, we have a rhythm. We have a schedule. Things are supposed to happen at certain times. But that very rarely goes according to plan. In fact, when it does go according to plan, sometimes it's like, what did we do? Like, what happened? And I have learned with Liam, in fact, Betsy sent me a picture this morning because we bought a little table that's like a little train table for him to play on with his cars and all those kind of things. Those of you that don't have kids yet, you'll get there, but the parents and the grandparents in the room are tracking with me. You have these things to entertain your kids. But we bought this table, and Betsy sends me a picture this morning, and Liam is literally standing on top of the train table with his cars. And I'm just like, that is my son. One of the things that I found out as a new parent is how difficult it is in the plan to get from the front door to the car seat. Anybody can relate? Like, just that, I never knew there was that much distraction, that many things that could take us away from the plan, just from the front door to the car seat. I mean, we have like Shell in a yard, so he goes and wants to play with the shells, and then, you know, there's the grass, and then there's, you know, the dirt, and then for him, where he is right now, everything's a ball, and he loves to point, so it's like ball, ball, and if a plane is passing over, we're walking to the car, we got to stop, we got to point to the ball in the sky, and yeah, it's part of it, right? That things don't go according to plan. We have to be willing to adjust to those moments. So my hope today for us as we dive into this passage of Scripture is that we realize that even though things don't go according to our plan, that God has a plan. And my hope is that we see ourselves in this passage and that we begin to see ourselves in the waves. Because God is making waves all around us, and we have an opportunity to get in on it. And so we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2. So if you have a copy of Scripture, you can turn there. We're going to be kicking off just in verse 1. And this is kind of the beginning of Jesus's ministry. It's right at the beginning of his ministry. And just so you guys know what's happening, he's beginning to go into towns and healing people. And so word is growing. People are beginning to take notice of what's happening. And so he is developing a bit of a following. People want to show up to see what he's doing and to learn from him. And so we're going to start in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look there together. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So we see this happening. We see Jesus in this town. He's coming home. People are coming to see him. They're showing up in big numbers, so much so that there's not even a way to get in the building. And then we look forward in verse 3 and 4. It says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him because of the crowd, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So I just want us to go here for a second, talking about things not going according to plan. There's a couple things that we see in this verses, because if we start to just envision ourselves in the scene of this right now, maybe you want to envision yourself as one of the men showing up carrying a friend on a mat. Maybe you want to envision yourself as somebody that's sitting in the home and just sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. But what we see is that things didn't go according to plan to the guys that are carrying their friend, because they show up having a plan of, hey, we're going to get our friend to Jesus, right? But there's no room. There's no way in. I immediately start to think of myself with some of my friends in Alabama growing up going, I think we can find a way in. You know, we start to go, we might be able to figure this out. But maybe you're one of those people that see yourself there. Things didn't go according to plan, but that didn't stop them, because it says they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through the roof. Because of the type of the material they used, it's kind of a made clay concrete out of mud and leaves and those kind of things that they laid over their dwellings to make a roof. So they literally had to dig in. But maybe you want to put yourself in this scene as somebody sitting in the house. Just for a second, whatever campus you're on, or maybe you're sitting at home right now watching this, let's envision and just think about what we would be thinking if somebody started to cut a hole in the roof of whatever room we're in right now. Would that be a little bit distracting? I think maybe. I actually did some roofing in college, and so I know what it's like to be on the upper side of a roof and to start to tear away the materials and dig through what's there to be able to get down to what's happening. But I mean, I think about a room like this, and all of a sudden there being like a new skylight that we just add to the ceiling. And all of a sudden, like, there's debris falling, right? There's all the things, this section right here would clear out really quick. But we think about those kind of things. And we saw in the verse before that Jesus was preaching to them, you can throw that sermon out the window, right? Everybody's distracted by now. But we see this happening, that things aren't going according to plan, even for the people sitting in the room. But I have to think that Jesus knew. I have to think that Jesus knew. And actually, as I was talking this message through with some people this week, I was talking with Trevor, and he said, I just think about it. He goes, I think that Jesus was probably already teaching them something to set them up for what was about to happen. But we just put ourselves in that scene and go, man, I can relate in things not going according to plan. But let's go a little further in the story and see what happens. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So everywhere on every campus in this room as well, I want to ask this question, and feel free to talk back at this point. Who is there? It says, when Jesus saw their faith, who is he referring to? The friends, the men on the roof. You know, that's important. Talking about faith. He saw their faith. But what is faith? We read in Hebrews that faith is what? Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So I'm going to this moment, and Jesus is seeing the confidence in the men that are lowing their friend down in front of him. And it says he saw their faith, but yet he looked at the paralyzed man and said, "But your sins are forgiven." There's something I think we can take away from that, and that's this. Your faith makes big waves in the lives of the people around you. Our faith makes big waves in the lives of the people around us. We see that because we see Jesus look at the faith of the friends. What? The faith to bring him to Jesus. Because they believe that he would be healed. But if we go back to the verse, what actually happens? We see that Jesus saw their faith and he says to the paralyzed man, what? Your sins are forgiven. Not really according to their plan, right? Here they are taking their friend who's paralyzed. They're lowering in front of Jesus. They've heard the stories. They know that he's been healing people, and they want their friend to be healed. They have confidence. They have assurance that Jesus can, but Jesus looks at him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus doesn't do what they expected him to do. I think about my life, how many times God has done things in my life that I didn't expect him to do. It didn't go according to plan. But here's the big idea that I want us to take away from today, specifically this verse, and it's this. Jesus knows what we really need. Jesus knows what we really need. And this is universal for each and every person in this room, on campus, online. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We need to know that we are forgiven of our sins. So many times we don't want to talk about sin, but what is sin? Sin is anything that separates us from God. And we see this picture in Mark of Jesus foreshadowing his life and saying, "I forgive you of your sins," knowing that he would be the ultimate sacrifice, standing in the gap between people and God, providing a pathway, forgiving our sins. Jesus knows what we really need. But so many times what we want, the plans we have, the things we value are not necessarily what he gives. Here's the thing I want you to know today. Every single person here, myself included, we have needs. We have a need in our life. There's something right now that if we were just to say, "God, if you could do one thing, this would be what I would need you to do." But I want to make sure that you understand that your immediate need may not be your primary need. That so many times in the urgency of our life, in the reaction to what's happening, we want the Band-Aid, but God wants to heal. And so let's make sure that we understand primary need and that we're forgiven. And Jesus knows what we need. We need direct connection with God, and he provides that for us. So to be a part of a wave, we have to be willing to share what God's doing in our lives, but we also have to be willing to address what's going on below the surface. We have to be willing to address what's going on in the heart. When we equate this to a wave, we're talking about landscape, right? What's happening below the water? See, I'm a fan of the big surfing, big wave surfing. I love seeing these idiots, but I love watching them, right? But, I mean, we're talking five-story waves. We're talking things that can kill us in an instant, so much so that you can't paddle into them. You have to get towed in on a jet ski so that you can get the speed up to ride these huge waves. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Pipeline in Hawaii. I'm talking about Mavericks. I love watching this because it's amazing to me to see these guys and girls harness the energy that is created in these waves. But so much of those locations, those waves only happen in those locations because of what exists below the surface, what we don't see. See, here, we live in Pinellas County. We have the Gulf. We have nice sandy beaches, which make it great to come visit. We live where other people vacation, right? And it's beautiful. But we don't see the massive waves that they see in other parts of the country because of what's below the surface. See, we have a gradual bed of sand that comes in and makes it nice and great to visit. But what exists in Hawaii, where there's an island that just jets out of the ocean, is you have these massive depths of water that the wind is blowing across, creating these massive waves, and then they just run into this rock or this coral or this reef that juts out into the water. And so the wave ends up having to slow down, stack up, and that's where you start to see the power of these huge waves. But it's created by the wind, but it's affected by the land and the landscape. What happens underneath is what creates the power in which we see. And so we have to be willing to address what's going on below the surface in our lives, the landscape of where we are, and understanding that our primary needs, the foundation in our life, is Jesus and the forgiveness that he gives us. And the stronger and the harder that foundation, the bigger the wave. See, the softer the sand and the nicer the slope, the nicer the vacation, right? But nobody wants to go see rock. You know, we want to go sit on the nice sandy beach. Let's go on and jump back to our story. It says, now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So these are the guys that, like I said, if we put ourselves as the people that are hearing about Jesus, we're sitting at his feet, we want to learn from him, and we show up and we're listening, and then all of a sudden he does something we didn't expect to do, and we start to what? Question him. I think we can relate to that. I can relate to that in moments of my life where things don't go according to plan. God, why? And they're going, what? What is this all about? How can he do this? But here's the thing. They're thinking it to themselves. They haven't even spoken anything out loud. And here's what we see happen. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? You know, have you ever had that moment where you start to question God in your life? And then all of a sudden, there's this voice. It's still soft voice saying, I'm here. You know, Jesus speaks to them. He knew what they were thinking. But we also see that he's concerned with the heart. He's concerned with what's going on below the surface. We already see this in the man that they lowered. So maybe not a good idea to be questioning Jesus in our heart or in our mind in the midst of his presence, because he's probably going to call us out on it. But it goes on, and he says this to him. He says, which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Now, understand that in their culture, they connected. It was completely connected, the forgiveness of sin and healing. And it wasn't that Jesus did not see that those two were connected. It was that he flipped the order. See, they would come and go, okay, he's healed, therefore his sins are forgiven. Jesus is saying his sins are forgiven. And guess what? He goes on and says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. This word right here in the original language is so that. He understands their culture, but he's helping them to see something that they've never seen before, because Jesus sees what we don't see. So that you know, so that you know that I am who I say I am. I say to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. So Jesus flips it on him, and then we see the outcome in verse 12. He, the man, gets up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. One of the things I love about this verse is that this man gets up and he, what, takes the very thing that he was dependent upon when he came into the room. He picks it up and he walks out. See, in our lives, I believe that when we're healed, there's scars. There's the effects of the things that have separated us from God. The difference is when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus is that we're not dependent upon it anymore. It's a part of our story, but it doesn't control us. And then we see that this amazed everyone, and they praise God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Real quick, I want to take you back to the first verse we looked at in Acts. So we're going to jump back to after Jesus. We see that they, the religious leaders of the time, recognized that Jesus' followers had been with him. What's interesting to me is that I wonder if some of these same religious leaders were sitting in this room, but they still had not got the very picture of forgiveness of sin. They never saw and understood what Jesus was saying because they never really were with him. They never spent time with him. And that leads us to the last point of being a part of a wave. We have to be willing to spend time with Jesus. We have to be willing to spend time with Jesus. So I want to give you some practical application in this, because you may be reading this and going, Michael, that's really nice. That's really easy to say, but it's really hard to do. Let me help you with this. Three keys that make a wave. Landscape. What's going on below the surface? Have you ever accepted the forgiveness of Jesus for your sins? Have you ever accepted his forgiveness for your sins? Practical application. Trust him. Take that step. Accept the forgiveness that God, that Jesus is offering you. Maybe you've accepted his forgiveness for your sins, but you've not forgiven yourself. Maybe you just need to forgive yourself today. Second, time. Spend time with Jesus. This is a mini picture of that today. Just take some verses of Scripture. We read 12 verses today. Here's something you can do, practical. Tyler even told us, start with the book of John if you're new to Jesus. Take a few verses. It's usually broken up into sections anyway. Read it and do this. Ask God to reveal the truth that you need for that day. That's spending time with Jesus, reading his word, and asking him to reveal the truth that we need for that day. Spend time with Jesus. Thirdly, the wind. Here's what sharing what God's doing in your life can look like. It's very simple. The very truth that God is showing you and teaching you when you read his word, share that with someone else. Share that with someone else. Maybe you get an opportunity to do that this week. Maybe you just need to spend some time with him and start to ask the truth to be revealed to you. We have an awesome opportunity as we go into Fan Day to share. You know what the magical number for Fan Day for us is this year? One. One. That God would give us one, each and every one of us, someone to share, someone to help, someone to love, someone to care for. Where are you in being a part of the wave? Because it takes all of it. to make the big waves. Let's pray together. God, I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. So thankful to be a part of what you're doing in Pinellas County. And I just ask in this moment, God, that you would move, that we would feel your spirit, the wind, move in this place. You're here. Your word promises that you're here. Maybe you're speaking to us right now, but we've been too distracted to listen. So God, I pray to whoever's listening to me right now and whoever's hearing my voice, wherever they are, whenever it is, that you would help them to know that you are here to forgive our sins. And that we have an opportunity each day to spend time with you, to read your word, to ask you to reveal to us the truths that we need in our lives. And we also have opportunity to share those truths with others. So my prayer is that we would trust you and that we would do it. We would not just talk about it. We would not just make another excuse of why we can't, but that we would do it, that we would step into our next, and that we would be a part of making huge waves with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close, we're going to be singing a song in just a moment, but I'm going to ask you guys, if you will, go ahead and stand with me. And I'm going to do something in this moment. If there's anybody here today that would be honest enough to say, Michael, I need the forgiveness of Jesus in my life, or I need to be reminded that it's there and to hold on to it, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you today? Is there anybody that's in that place today? Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Let me just pray for you. God, those that raised their hand and maybe those that didn't, I pray right now that you would help them to know that they are forgiven. Jesus, that if we accept you as Lord of our life, that you promise us life in you and forgiveness of sin. And that nothing can come between us and the Father. Nothing can come between us and you, because you are always with us. So God, I pray for those that have raised their hand. I pray that they would respond, that they would trust, and they would step into the forgiveness that exists for them today. In Jesus' name, amen.